Welcome to Good Money Moves, the show where we share financial tips and advice to help you feel financially empowered. I'm Jenna Tobel, AVP of Marketing here at First Alliance Credit Union. And joining me today is Serena Thompson. Welcome.
Thank you.
She is one of our centralized underwriters here at First Alliance Credit Union. And Serena is going to be chatting with me about goal setting today. We're coming up on a new year. It's time to start setting those financial goals. So before we dig into this really important topic, Serena, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your role here at the credit union?
All right. I came to First Alliance out of event coordinating and management, actually. I've been here 3 years now, and I was doing the MEA position, working one-on-one with our members in branch for the first 2 years. I've been in centralized underwriting for a year now.
And doing an awesome job at it, I might say.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm really excited to talk about goal setting. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about when it comes to your finances, because without those, you're not going to get very far. Mm-hmm. So let's just maybe start off a little bit about maybe some of like the strategies someone can use to set some really solid financial goals for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, setting a good financial goal has to do with not cutting myself off of things that bring me joy or that, you know, I would suffer without.
Yes.
I think that people have a tendency to do that. And then I really try and give myself bite-sized goals, things that I know I will achieve. Yeah. Because if I fail at a few too many things, I'm more likely to give up on my larger goals.
Yeah, I really like that you said not to like be too restrictive, essentially. Like you don't want to be so serious in your goal setting that you actually set yourself up for failure, essentially. And yes. I like that you mentioned, you know, having those kind of little wins along the way, because those can be so motivating when, especially if you're working towards like a really big goal, like maybe saving up for a down payment for a house or something that can take several years to accumulate that kind of money.
Yeah.
And you need to like have some little wins along the way to kind of keep at it. Let's maybe back up a step and talk about, you know, what are some common financial goals that people can set for themselves, or that you've seen people set for yourself, or even that you've set for yourself?
Yeah, I think a really common goal is to have an emergency fund. That can be $1,000. You're working over the course of the year to save $1,000 in case you have an emergency. Another really common goal is to get out of credit card debt, or maybe not even out of credit card debt, but have a more manageable debt portfolio.
Yeah.
And so that it's not so overwhelming for you. And another huge one is going to be a car.
Yes.
You know, even just a small down payment for a car, if it's only, you know, 2% of that total purchase, it's still a decent amount of money for a lot of people.
100%. And I like that you brought up that there's kind of almost two different types of goals, right? There's financial goals that are focused around saving money and kind of building up that savings account, the emergency fund, saving for the down payment, or kind of those more debt-focused financial goals that are kind of focused on just getting yourself in a better financial position or gaining control over your debt, maybe not paying it all the way off, because there are some people who feel comfortable just having a, you know, a small level of debt that they feel manageable, and there's nothing wrong with carrying manageable amounts of debt. So
yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So how can someone maybe start to set some realistic goals to achieve something like saving for an emergency fund?
You know, for me, when looking at my financial goals, I do have some bigger goals. Like you said, saving up for a down payment for a house. It feels monstrous these days. But looking at some of those smaller things, working on your budget. My husband and I had a really hard time looking at our budget. A couple things that helped us a ton. We have a budget worksheet with First Alliance Credit Union that I love. It pointed out a lot of things that we weren't really thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, we aren't big drinkers, but we go to the bar, and that is part of our budget that we maybe weren't considering when we first looked at it. And then the second thing we've done that was so helpful was printing out our statements and just highlighting what we're spending our money on. And I think my husband was most shocked by how much he spends at Quick Trip.
I think there's a lot of people in Minnesota that will be shocked at their Quick Trip bill.
Yes. And just looking at that, it was so much easier to say, okay, maybe lunch at Quick Trip isn't necessary every day. Mm-hmm. Let's cut back on that a little bit. Yes. And it is part of our budget that we really needed to consider where our money was going and just really didn't know.
Yeah. I love that you brought up the B word, budget. I know that is a word that gets people kind of a little bit hesitant and they start to feel like, oh, budget, it's so constraining. But to your point, you don't know what you don't know about what you're spending until you put that budget together and really just look at it line item by line item and realize how much you're spending at Quick Trip or realize, oh, I guess we are spending more going out to eat every week than we realized. And being able to really see that on paper is eye-opening. And it really is, to your point, the starting place, because how are you going to start putting the money in the right places if you don't know where it's already going and making those changes?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you mentioned one of the tools that we have available on our website, the budgeting tool. Are there, you know, other tools that people can use when it comes to setting financial goals that you've maybe seen members using, you know, whether it's, you know, the My Money tool in our app as well, like, you know, to maybe talk a little bit about some of the things you see other people doing, even members, to help them kind of get their arms wrapped around their budget.
Yeah, you know, when I grew up, I really was shared the budget as a child by my mom, and she did the envelope method. So putting money into specific envelopes, and this is the money for groceries, this is the rent, this is, you know, our car payment, this is for gas. And my mom was really good at doing that, and even giving herself an allowance. As an adult, it's not something that I do very well. I benefit a lot more from giving myself an allowance. And that was actually something that I was taught at First Alliance by my financial advisor. I'm a member too, and coming in and having someone tell me, you know, some good tips and tricks on how to save my own money, automatically transferring everything into the appropriate account for saving, for spending. And I like to call it my allowance. I don't feel like I have a budget. I have an allowance and a spending plan.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, there are a ton of those fun games that you play where you're trying to gamify saving money.
Sure.
That's something my husband and I do to try and go above and beyond what we're doing with our budgeting.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you bring up the envelope method, because I think for a lot of people, that is like the restriction that they need to put on themselves to kind of learn to stay within those parameters that they're setting for themselves. And I think this day and age, that envelope method can get a little bit challenging just because we are moving away from being a cash-based society and more and more digital. But to your point, you know, if you can open up more than one savings account or more than one checking account at First Alliance, you could easily create a digital version of the envelope method if you wanted to, and structure it that way. And then you still know, okay, well, I have this much for rent, this much for groceries, this much for fun. When it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to kind of just keep yourself on track with your, and I love that you use spending plan. So I'm going to try to use that from now on, spending plan. It seems a little more approachable than budget. Yes. It really does.
Yeah.
What are maybe, because you kind of started to talk a little bit about this and we kind of shifted gears, but like, what are some of the small, like everyday changes people can look at making for themselves to kind of open up room in that budget to start to meet some of those financial goals, you know, whether it is, you know, wanting to have that $1,000 emergency fund, or maybe they want to pay off an extra $1,000 in debt by the end of the year. You know, what are some of those small little habit changes that can kind of help get moving in the right direction?
Yeah, I think really you have to know where your money is going first. I think that can be the biggest challenge for a lot of people, is knowing where it's going. So you can start to determine where you can comfortably pull back and start maybe putting some of that money into savings or into paying down debt. And really being able to pull back on what you give yourself without, like we said, cutting yourself off completely. I like Starbucks. It's way too much money to go on a daily basis. Yeah. But when we've done well for a week, I might go after that and kind of reward myself. Mm-hmm. So finding things like that, you know, my coffee, just making it at home more. I am a bad cook and I don't like eating the food I make, but I do have to cut back on going out to eat. And so my husband and I have had to have that conversation. Like,
yeah,
neither of us are going to be happy if I cook every meal, but we've got to start doing that at home. Can that be something you're doing so that we're not spending so much and making those compromises together?
Yeah. I love that you bring up, you know, that it really is, if you have a family, you have a partner, it is going to be a family conversation to get everybody moving in the right direction. And I think, it kind of brings me to another question, which is maybe you have like competing needs in your home for financial goals, right? One person really wants to pay down debt. The other person really wants to, you know, build up that emergency fund.
Yeah.
Is there one that's better to do first over the other that you would suggest or that you've seen work better for, you know, members that you've worked with? You know, is saving, having that savings built up more important, or is getting that debt under control more important? Which one do you prioritize if you don't have money for both?
Yeah. You know, I have a really hard time telling people what is the right choice for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have two incomes in the household and you both are competing for what is maybe the most important to you, I think potentially you could each focus on your own thing, and you're probably not going to do it as quickly, but if you truly cannot get on the same page about where you're going, I think you do have to prioritize what you think is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen a lot of people who struggle, if I tell you, you have to save money,
mm-hmm.
and you're not committed to it, it's going to be harder to do it.
Yeah.
You really should try and be on the same page. I know a lot of people talk about this snowball method.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like that for getting debt under control. And it does get you to a place where you can start saving a little bit sooner.
Sure.
And even with that, when you're doing the snowball method, which is, you know, taking what you are paying, adding everything extra to that first payment, and then once that's paid off, taking everything you were paying towards that plus the minimum payment towards the next card and rolling that until you've got most of it paid off.
Yeah.
If you are in that dilemma where you don't know if you should save or pay off the debt, you could potentially start pulling out some of that and putting it into savings at the same time when you're feeling a little bit more comfortable so that you can meet those goals at the same time.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. You know, it is going to be a lot harder to save as quickly if you have all this debt that you're under. So it does kind of make sense to maybe start with that. And I love that you brought up that snowball method, because I feel like that is a really approachable way to start your debt payoff journey, especially if this is something where this is kind of the first time that you're trying to really gain control over the debt that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so approachable, and because you start with that smaller, you know, balance or that smaller payment, whatever, mm-hmm. however you want to structure that, and just build from there. And going back to your initial statement of those little wins along the way, that mm-hmm. method gives you those little wins along the way so you can meet that goal faster and feel really good about how you got there.
I really love that. One thing that I want to make sure that we bring up that I don't think we've talked about yet is, and maybe I'm assuming you're familiar with SMART goals
mm-hmm.
and kind of how those work, you know, SMART being that specific, M, measurable, A, attainable, R, realistic, and then T, time bound, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk through a little bit maybe how you've used it or how you've helped members use that SMART goals framework to set some financial goals for themselves?
Yeah. You know, I think SMART goals are a really great way to start looking at what you're reaching towards.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we talked about saving up for a down payment for a home, it's a really good idea to structure some of that in your SMART goals. You want something where you're going to break it up into chunks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be manageable. So you're going to maybe say in, you know, the first 3 months of the year, here's where we want to be. And I think reassessing mm-hmm. when you're in those SMART goals is really important. A lot of people have emergencies come up. I've done it too many times in trying to save for a down payment
mm-hmm.
where the money isn't somewhere else and we've pulled out of there. And so we've had to reassess where we're at and change our saving structure.
Mm-hmm.
But really breaking it into those smaller time chunks, so you feel like you're achieving something.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've won something in every small section.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I like that you talked about reassessing when things maybe go awry, because mm-hmm. you can have the best laid plans in the world. You can have the most like strategic and well thought out budget and the best SMART goals laid out in front of you. And then your car dies and that's that. There goes the savings you've worked so hard for. So I like that you brought up the reassessing component to goal setting, and that you can't let those kind of mishaps that are going to happen in life mm-hmm. completely derail your progress and your momentum. It's just like, nope, let's just look at where things are at and start over, make a new SMART goal, mm-hmm. you know, set a new budget, and like, let's reset and keep moving. I love that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? We've talked about a ton, but we are already at time. So is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners, our viewers, about setting financial goals and how to really make sure that you're successful in achieving them, especially as we talk about, you know, coming up to the new year and mm-hmm. everybody's going to be starting those New Year's resolutions. So any last minute tips or advice you want to share around goal setting?
Yeah, actually, in preparation for this, I did a lot of conversations with my friends and family. And I think that that's something a lot of people don't do enough when we're talking about financial goals. It's hard to talk about our money mm-hmm. and our situation, but I think being open and honest with the people around you who you feel comfortable with, and maybe that is just coming into a branch and talking to a financial advisor, but setting those goals and having somebody who's celebrating with you mm-hmm. and seeing your achievements and helping you work towards whatever it is that you want to meet, right?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you want to have kind of like your rally team, your cheerleaders mm-hmm. around you. And I think, too, when you talk about them, people are even, you know, more understanding when you're like, oh, sorry, I can't meet you for dinner tonight. It's not in the budget. They're not going to be like, oh, no fun, Serena, come on, right? They're going to be like, okay, no worries, we'll catch yeah. you next time, you know? So I love that you talking about your money and your goals. I think that is so important.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, Serena. This was a great conversation. I loved having you here. I'll definitely invite you back if you'll come back.
We'll see. Awesome.
Well, this has been Good Money Moves. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure that you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you are listening as a podcast, make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube podcasts. And if you want to check out more information about goal setting or any of the topics that we talked about here today, make sure to visit our website at firstglancecu.com. We'll see you next time.